Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I will be sitting in this evening for Pastor Curtis McMiller. I'm honored to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. If you have your Bibles handy, and I pray you do, join with me once again in the book of James, chapter 1. Faithful listeners may recall that the last time we were together, we began a study entitled Temptation, the Gift, and the Crown from Above. In verses 12 through 18 of chapter 1, we discovered the source of temptation not to be of any divine testing, rather, more often than not, the unmastered appetites and desires of the flesh, with the fruits of those fleshly desires leading to death. While the new spirit with which a believer is imbued instead urging the believer into spiritual growth and service, or the way of life. Tonight we'll be covering the gift as well as the crown from above promised to those that overcome. The gift. Now we can understand that the individual who is yet to accept Christ Jesus as their Lord is entirely misled, being without any form of truth. One such as this walks continuously in darkness, even in brightest day. And woe unto man if that were the final verdict of his condition. And praise be to God that while we were wretched, and indeed yet remained far from holy, his love for man was so great that he provided a way for those who believe, who might take part of the appropriation for the covering of sin, which is provided by the shed blood of our Lord. That we who have not seen might believe and call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and be redeemed not by works, but by mere faith. You see, friends, there exists some confusion amongst believers to this day in this area in relation to the topics of repentance, salvation, and works. While it is my understanding and belief that salvation of the convert's soul occurs in the moment the person comes to understand their truly wretched state, convicted in their hearts of their transgressions of their flesh, who then repents in their heart when they desire God's blessing upon their lives in lieu of God's curses. If their heart is genuine and their belief sure, and they call out to our Lord, I believe he will answer. We understand this from the example given in the recounting of the conversation held between the two malefactors or thieves and our Messiah, given in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, as it is written. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Beloved, because he promised, I believe. We know, friends, that this man did not live long enough to accomplish any greater work than this his final act of love, his defense of our Lord, and his cry for mercy and compassion. Nothing lesser or greater is indeed required than that. However, I also believe that a change of spirit should, in fact, produce fruit, and that God desires that once saved, a new believer should be willing to take up the burden of our Savior as he had to pick up his burden, to bear our sins and transgressions on the cross on a hill named Golgotha. We find his burden or mission in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Friends, these scriptures never fail to convict my heart, inspiring to ask within myself if there's not more I could be doing this side of heaven for our Father's kingdom, to seek to show greater love, greater joy, to carry with me peace, to be patient, gentle, and meek, to walk in faith, and to tell any I may about my Lord's saving grace. These are the things I've set myself to strive after, and though I often fall short, that failure is not the end of the story. What about you, friend? No matter where you may be at in your walk with our Lord, or even if perhaps you've yet to begin that journey, do these verses inspire you to strive after these things? I hope so, friend. We must lend our strength to be sure the banner of our Lord is held high, that the burden we bear in joy for the one who bore our sin. It's a gift, but as any truly precious gift, it comes with responsibilities. Amen. Continuing with this vein of thought, look with me in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. The responsibilities are clearly listed. If you believe yourself to be saved this evening, and upon reflection of these scriptures have found any doubt in your heart, do not be ashamed or discouraged. This part of the message is for you. This message is not of judgment, rather to edify and encourage you to repent in your heart of any flaws in your faith or misconceptions, that through God's word, you should strive toward a greater understanding of the expectations of our Lord if you truly desire to be counted as his servant. It's not too late to begin in your life to plant a different crop and to plan to harvest a precious fruit. In fact, you might be surprised how God can use that crop you turned under to prepare your field as fertilizer for that new fruit. And by that fruit, you shall be known. And finally tonight, the crown from above. Now I'd like to share something here from the noted theologian Matthew Henry in reference to this part of our study tonight. He writes, "It is not every man who suffers that is blessed, but he who with patience and consistency goes through all the difficulties in the way of duty. Afflictions cannot make us miserable if it be not our own fault. The tried Christian shall be a crowned one. The crown of life is promised to all who have the love of God reigning in their hearts. Every soul that truly loves God shall have its trials in this world fully recompensed in that world above. Where love is made perfect, the commands of God and the dealings of his providence try men's hearts and show the dispositions which prevail in them. But nothing sinful in the heart or conduct can be ascribed to God. He is not the author of the dross, though his fiery trial exposes it. Those who lay the blame of sin either upon their constitution or upon their condition in the world, or who pretend they cannot keep from sinning, wrong God, as if he were the author of sin. Afflictions as sent by God are designed to draw out our graces, but not our corruptions. The origin of evil and temptation is in our own hearts. Stop the beginnings of sin, or all the evils that follow must be wholly charged upon us. God has no pleasure in the death of men, as he has no hand in their sin, but both sin and misery are owing to themselves. What the Son is in nature, God is in grace, providence, and glory, and infinitely more. As every good gift is from God, so particularly our being born again, and all its holy, happy consequences come from him. A true Christian becomes as different a person from what he was before the renewing influences of divine grace, as if he were formed over again. We should devote all of our faculties to God's service, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the crown that is offered, friends. Eternal life in glory with the God, the Father, God the Son, and his Spirit. A chance to cast off who you became to suit this world, and instead be reborn as a new creation, growing in grace and love for the world to come, blessed by God's grace and a partaker of his mercy. Friends, the truth is, each and every day that we wake up to a decision. Do we begin our day with prayer and God's word? Or do we start our day by seeking after the world? Do we seek sustenance from the Father before anything else, or sustenance for the flesh? Is God our first thought, or merely an afterthought? Won't you strive for a closer walk with our Lord tonight? I hope so, friend. I hope you indeed are willing to answer the call.